by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
Let's pray. Holy and life-giving God, we praise you for the gift of your precious and holy and living word. We thank you that as we come this morning, you invite us to abide in you, to make our home in you, to receive your love, to receive the invitation that we are called your friends. So in that spirit of being accepted and being loved, as we seek to follow the commandments that you have set out for us, inspire us and challenge us, guide us and love us. And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's so good to be with you, to spend some time in this post-Easter period reflecting on calling and vocation. And the Gospel reading, which is set aside for Vocation Sunday this week, is one where the emphasis is that we are first of all, primarily, called to love. Called to love others in the continuation of the work of God begun in Christ, which through the life of the church, the body of Christ, is exercised in all of our lives and our work. And you may well be revisiting this chapter of John's Gospel in the weeks to come, and hopefully as you do hear those words again, you'll be able to think about what it means when God calls us, when we seek to work out what it means to be and do, as we deepen our understanding of what it means to follow in the Jesus way. So the word vocation comes from that sense of calling, and it's often said that the kind of work that God calls us to has two aspects. First, that we're called to what we need to do most. And second, we're called to what the world most needs to have done. All of us are called by God. And as we respond to God's love for us, as we take steps day by day in following Jesus, our vocations change and develop and deepen as we fulfill these callings to the best of our ability, both as individuals and together as the church. So in the light of this reading, and as people who seek to listen deeply to God's quiet call on our lives, we're going to think about three aspects. First, being in touch with God. And then knowing ourselves. And then being deeply aware of the needs of the church and the world. And at Queen's, where the large part of my vocation is currently exercised, we train and journey alongside those who are preparing for ordained ministry, and we're always encouraging our students to keep these three elements, being in touch with God, knowing themselves, and addressing the needs of the church and the world together. I just believe that that's a really dynamic tension that the Holy Spirit places upon us as we seek, as followers of Jesus, to notice where we are called to be. So let's start with being in touch with God. Hearing our call and vocation requires us to continually listen deeply, making time in worship and devotion to attend God's voice, to still ourselves. The part of John's Gospel that we heard today about vines and fruit and pruning and love is sandwiched between two accounts of Jesus promising the gift of the Holy Spirit that will guide and teach. And some of those verses were picked up in our anthem as we heard them earlier. How did the early followers of Jesus hear that call and commandment? I'm sure that not all of them were enthusiastic and fully behind it. Maybe others were a bit more cautious, waiting to see whether those promises would be delivered. And maybe we come this morning thinking about our own vocations and calls at either side of that spectrum. fully enthusiastic for the next thing that God's going to call us to. Or maybe a bit more cautious, waiting to see what God has in store for us next. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's quite harsh, isn't it? Don't even try, Jesus says, to do anything on your own, because it simply won't succeed. But often throughout the Gospels, when we hear phrases that seem really impossible and harsh, they're often used for an emphasis. If I was to paraphrase it, remaining in God, keeping our home in God, is the only way we are going to survive and live and thrive on the Jesus way. So following our vocation, listening to God's call, means being in touch with God, the living Word, Jesus, the cornerstone of our faith, and the Holy Spirit, the giver of life. And may we daily have the confidence to ask the question, what do you need of me? Where do I need to prune back, allow myself to be pruned in order that that fruit may grow? And I invite us, as we go through the week to come and in the coming weeks, to ask what it means for us to make our home in God. To get rid of the stuff that is holding us back, allowing ourselves to be pruned. Allowing all that will be fruitful in our lives as individuals and as a church to flow from that living relationship with God. Let's make that commitment to be in touch with God. And knowing ourselves, I wonder if you imagined as a small child what you would end up doing or being, what work you would do, where in the world you would live or travel, who you would encounter along the way. There must be some people out there whose childhood dreams to be a footballer or an astronaut or a nurse or an actor or a marathon runner this morning must come to fruition. But I suspect that many more of us find the road by walking, as Brian McLaren puts it. For those of us who choose to follow Jesus, we invite God to direct and guide our lives. Our annual covenant prayer that you have there for you every week helps us to recognize that sometimes this is in line with our own inclinations, and sometimes it takes us completely out of our comfort zones. But I think what is probably true is that when we take that step of faith, when we follow what God calls us to do, there are others who stand alongside us, who encourage us and prompt us, who say, have you thought about this? We know that in the life of the church, many of us step into roles that we never thought that we could do, thanks to the encouragement of others. And then there are times when we're called to step aside and into new roles so that others can grow and flourish in their ministries. But But the awareness of doing that requires us to know one another and to know ourselves well, so that we offer our skills and gifts, but we're also prepared to learn new ones and address the fear and anxiety of things which might hold us back from offering. You might be right at the beginning of your Christian journey, seeking to find out what God wants you to do, the role that God has for you in the life of this community and the wider church. Or you may be someone who is able to look back and see how your gifts have been used in different ways. Or you may not have had the confidence to offer your gifts, or indeed know what those might be. This Sunday, this annual focus on vocation allows us to ask not only about ourselves, but whether we could be that prompt or support for someone else. In the year to come, maybe God is prompting you to serve in a new way, but maybe you could notice someone else's gifts and encourage them. And we have many ways in the local church and in the wider church. And as part of the team where I work, we are there to support local churches in processes of discernment. So always reach out to someone here or to us if you need someone to pray or journey with you. Being in touch with God and knowing ourselves, they're key aspects, but we can only serve God, we can only answer our calling if those things are held in dialogue with the needs of the world. I can't think of a Sunday when I've come to public worship without my heart being troubled by the needs of the world. I'm sure you are similar, and this Sunday is no different. Whatever that concern may be, need for a stable climate to protect crops and clean water supplies, a need for political stability leading to justice and peace for all people, an end to the need for people to flee their homes and families due to conflict or discrimination or hardship. Or the needs that you bring might be closer to home. That sense in the gospel reading this morning of loving one another. Maybe you come with the needs of someone close to you to worship this morning, with their welfare and well-being uppermost in your mind. Someone who's struggling, who's ill or bereaved. In a period of transition, about to sit exams or move house. Someone looking for work or stability in uncertain times. Maybe God's calling you this morning, not to a particular role or task in the life of the church, but to be present to the needs that God has placed on your heart. Your calling might be the highest calling that we heard in John's Gospel, to place love for others at the heart of who you are and who you are called to be. To make a difference. To leave this place and reach out to write that email or card or make the phone call that you've been putting off. To put into words in a campaigning way to your MPs or local councillors something that's been on your heart and mind, where you can see those injustices played out. Maybe that's your calling as you address it this morning. So this Sunday, this Vocation Sunday, as you reflect on what it means to listen to God, to make your home in God's love, and to show that in every relationship and in every part of your lives and your work, my prayer is that you continue here at Wesley Memorial to go from strength to strength as you root and ground yourself in God's love, as you know yourselves and one another, as you build each other up, and as you continue to pay attention and care to the needs of your community. And in all of this, may we not be troubled or fearful, but step out in faith, knowing the promise of that Comforter, the Holy Spirit, through which we experience Jesus' promise and his peace and his strength as we serve him in the world and the church, in hope and in love, this Eastertide and beyond. Amen. So we continue our theme of dwelling, abiding, making our home in God's love as we sing the great hymn, Love Divine. It's 503 if you're using the hymn book. So we come to a time when we are going to pray for the world, for the church, for others, and for ourselves. I'm going to leave plenty of space for you to bring what is most on your hearts and minds this morning. God of all grace, we come to you to seek justice, to pray for peace, to long for love. And so we lift before you the needs of the world. A world in need of your healing. In need of your peace. In need of your love. God of all grace, we bring to you our prayers for the church around the world, called to share and spread your good news of a new kingdom built on justice and righteousness. And so we pray for the body of Christ. In its need of healing. In its need of peace. In its need of love. And we bring you our prayers for others. Our families and our friends, those in this congregation, our neighbours and those we care for. We bring you them. In their need of healing, in their need of peace, in their need of love. And we bring you ourselves, all of ourselves. In our need of healing, of peace and of love. as you call us and we respond may you continue to guide and inspire us, strengthen and love us. We pray in the precious name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to close our worship today with hymn 662, Have You Heard God's Voice? As we do that, there will be an opportunity to give through the offering if that is something that you are able and would like to do and don't do in another electronic way. And then we'll offer a prayer at the end of this hymn as we offer it. So 662, Have You Heard God's Voice? And our offering prayer. Thank you, God, for this moment, this time, this day. Thank you for the gifts of our lives, the talents and gifts of this community. Thank you for the gifts that we make to you, an expression of a response of the love that you have given to us. So we ask you to bless these gifts and the gifts that we make in so many different ways. And that you may use them and each one of us for your glory. Amen. So just remains for me to say a huge thank you to you for your welcome. I hope it's not another 32 years before I'm back with you again. But for those people especially who have prepared for today, the building, the worship, and who've been in touch over the weeks leading up to today's service, I'm very, very grateful. So a blessing. May God bless us, creator, redeemer, and giver of life, that we might be a people, a joy-filled people, a joy-giving people, a joy-bringing people, an Easter people who are sent out to live and work in the world. Amen.